also good morning to each of you this morning. I'm not sure how you feel, but I've been really enjoying these lessons in the Minor Prophets. I know they're a little more difficult to dig into sometimes, but I've learned quite a bit of new things. I don't know how you feel about that, but the other Sunday we looked at Habakkuk and his unusual prophecy, and that he really was not talking to anybody in the audience. Habakkuk was having a discourse between him and God. So that's an interesting one. That's different from all the rest of the minor prophets. And this one today, I thought was interesting too, that this is the only one of the minor prophets, Haggai, that actually dated each of his messages. I think there's four in the book. Four different messages, and they're actually dated right to the day. If you want to dig into that, that's interesting. I think one of them, I forget which one now, one of them is dated at October 17 in our calendar. October 17, I think it's 500 BC, was the day he gave that prophecy. Anyway, check into that if you want, but it's quite fascinating. Again, he'd be the only minor prophet that, like I say, dated exactly that. His messages, each one. It's like a preacher that puts a date at the top, you know, and that's what he did. Anyway, I'm sure that there'll be more truths that we can uncover as we finish these studies of the minor prophets. All right, before we go further, we're very happy to welcome a new child to our congregation here this morning. Demi Ray Martin is here at church for the first time with her parents. So we'd like to invite them to come forward for a dedication prayer. So Jeff and Bunny, you want to come up here, please? Bless your parents. You give them wisdom and understanding, grace and strength to raise her, to be honoring to you, to your word, and to eternal truth. And may we, as a congregation, bless them and uphold them and encourage them in this walk of life as new parents. So, Father, we just thank you again for all the blessings you give to us, and especially here this morning, and the life of this child. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.
You've heard this before. It's an old saying that it takes a village to raise a child, and I think in New Testament terms, it takes a brotherhood to raise children, and I think that it's such a blessing that we can have brotherhood and surround our families and all these children growing up among us. It's such a privilege to be able to influence them. All right, so we have glad for all the visitors here this morning, and glad that Brother David Martin and his wife can be here with us. They're from the Rairsburg congregation, I believe, there in Pennsylvania, friends of Daryl and Lisa, and he has consented to share the message with us this morning. So before that, let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your eternal truth. We thank you that we can open our hearts to you. We thank you for the eternal truth that already came to us this morning through the voice of a prophet, long dead, yet speaking to our hearts. And so, Father, we just pray that as our brother shares the truth again with us this morning, that you would bless him, and bless us as we listen. There may be a time of refreshing and challenge and encouragement. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. May you be seated.
Bring you greetings this morning in Christ's precious name. It's good to be here, not necessarily up here, but we do want to take our responsibility and fulfill that. Glad to be in this first time we're in this area of Canada, and we're with, of course, Daryl and Lisa. Learned to know them a number of years back, in part of a degree, and maybe more in the last couple years. Met him at Bethel Fellowship Ministers Conference. I needed a way back to the airport, and they took me along. And so I got back home again. We have my wife and I, my wife Irma, and myself. We have 5 children, 3 boys, 2 girls. They're all married. And we have 25 grandchildren. And we have 2 of our grandchildren that got married this year. So the message that I want to talk about this morning is time. I brought this message just a couple months ago to our home congregation there. You know, time is moving on for all of us. And I'm probably a little more conscious of that than I was at one time. As time moves on, and what are we doing, the challenge with, what are we doing with our time? Some of you may have known my uncle. I'm a Gingrich. My mother was a Gingrich. Sidney Gingrich was my uncle. Of course, David Burkholder is my cousin. And here some time ago, my wife and I were at a viewing in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure if it may have been a cousin or someone that we were, it was someone, but it might have been family that we were there for. Anyhow, we were leaving the place and going out across the parking lot, and I seen this man. He was headed in, and he started making tracks for me. I mean, I knew he was coming. And he said, "My, you come a long way for this viewing." I just kind of looked at him, and I knew he didn't know who I was, and he thought I was David Burkholder from BC. So I said, "Well, I don't think I'm who you think I am." And he said, "Aren't you David Burkholder?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm his cousin, but I'm not David Burkholder." So time does move on. So as we look at time, I'm going to look at Ecclesiastes, and you can turn there. Ecclesiastes, just give a little bit of background on Ecclesiastes here, and we're going to look at chapter 3 then. The one verse, of course, we think of Ecclesiastes being written by Solomon, and he says that everything is vanity. Life is vanity, and how did he come to that point? And I think he would conclude, and we can conclude with him, that aside from God, apart from God, life is empty. And life can be vanity. And he goes and talks about a lot of things. There's a verse here in the first verse in Ecclesiastes, first chapter, verse 9, says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." And we think there's a lot of new things under the sun today. You know, we think of all the inventions and the things that have been made. But really, there is no new thing under the sun. God created the world from nothing. We make things from something. And so we maybe make a new thing, a new gadget with something that has been made before, but there it says there's no new thing under the sun. So Solomon As he looked at man, as we think about mankind and who we are, and we are nothing aside from God. We need God in our life. And he says there's no meaning and purpose, and that caused Solomon finally to exclaim. He said, "Eat, drink, rejoice, do good, live joyfully, fear God, keep his commandments." And that's what we need to do today, even many years later, after Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes here. So, time, what is time? If you were to describe time, what would time be? One of the things our mind goes to first is that time is from, we know, when we were born. That's the beginning of time. We don't know when the end is, but between there is time. Or we could look at it and say, we remember September 11th, 01. You know, we probably know, some of the older ones here know where you were when the Twin Towers were attacked. You know, there's this time, that September 11th, that was when that was. Now we think of God. God is a God of order. God, he's not just haphazardly doing things. God is a God of order. And time is a moment or a hour or day, or it's a measurement between two points. We think of time, the year 2024, and we go do that by the clock or by the calendar. And we measure time this morning. We are involved with time. It's a period of time between two events, the time we're born to the time we pass away. Or 24 hours a day. That's a day. 24 hours makes a day. 168 hours a week, 10,800 minutes a week. It's the measurement of time. And we want to look at a little bit of that. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men." So we are supposed to make use of our time today, make use of it to the honor and glory of God. We can be, I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning. I could have had Russell just go on for the next hour, and we could have shared back and forth, but it's very interesting to think about things that happen in life and what is going on, and we are to do it heartily as to the Lord. It doesn't matter today if we're the president or the whoever you're, not your president here, but or if we're the paper boy. It doesn't matter who we are. We all are given time. We all have the same amount of time today. If we live this day, we all have 24 hours in this day. And no, not because of who we are do we have more or less. It's all the same. So what are we doing? The challenge to us this morning is, what are we doing with our time? With the time that God has given to us. Do we realize that God is giving us an allotted amount of time? Or are we taking that time and are we using it? Are we living it in a selfish way to bring honor and glory to ourselves? We'll look at that towards the end of the message this morning. So what are you doing with the time that you are given? There are different ways, and people use time different ways. Some people take the time to maybe build relationships. We should do that. We should build relationships. Some people dream dreams. You know, there are those that they just dream dreams, and their imagination just runs. Maybe we are making plans. Maybe we're cultivating our walk with God, developing new skills, or are we living lives of fulfillment? So that's different ways that we could use our time. We could use our time to build relationships. We could be dreamers. We could make plans. We could cultivate our walk with God or develop new skills or live lives of fulfillment. And we should be doing a combination of all of them. And I'm not going to speak about each one individually this morning. Some people spent their time with pursuing trivial things and engaging in entertainment or activities that really they experience that activity and then it's over. you know, and then they need to experience it again. It's not lasting. We want to look at things that are lasting. So what differentiates people isn't the amount of time or the amount of years they live. That's not what differentiates between people. Amount of time that is available to them, but the manner in which they exercise their gifts and talents within that allotted time. So it's basically back to how are we using the time that God is allotting to us today. The time that is available, we can waste it. We can waste time. And we probably all have been responsible for times when we wasted time. If we're honest with ourselves, we did waste some time. Or we can invest in it wisely. So we are stewards. That's what stewardship's all about this morning. We can faithfully develop the gifts and the talents that God has given us and the resources that we have in the amount of the time that God has allotted to us. It's for His honor and His glory, and that's what we should be doing. We should be using that time to His honor and to His glory, and not to bring attention to ourselves. You know, in every stewardship relationship, there are two parties involved. And the first one is God is the master. God is the master. He distributes gifts at His discretion. It's at His discretion as to the gifts and the talents that He gives to each one of you. And it's at our responsibility how we use them. Are we using them gifts and talents that He has given to us? We are accountable. We are stewards. We are stewards of that, so we are accountable to Him for what He has given to us. You know, I'm not accountable to how Brother Darrell uses his time. That is not my responsibility. That is not I am not accountable for that, nor is he accountable for me. So each one of you this morning are accountable for the time and what you are doing with that time. The responsibilities and the abilities that you have, each one is responsible for that himself. There's a verse there in Ecclesiastes 9. We'll look at that one verse, and then we're going to go to Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, "For whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And I think that's simply stating to us that we need to use the time that we have today, because we don't know when our time is completed here, because there is no, in the grave after that, eternity is not measured by time. Eternity just it goes on and on and on forever. So we are each personally responsible what we do with what God has given us. You know, yesterday's gone, and you can't change what you did yesterday. You can maybe make some amendments to that, but you can do different today, and that's a challenge to us. Now let's look at Ecclesiastes 3. We'll look at the first 15 verses there. Read what Solomon has to say there. First 15 verses of chapter 3. "To everything there is a season." And we're not going to come back and look at all these things that he says here. I'm going to read through them, make some comments then, but we won't come back to each one. So just listen as we read through. "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rent and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can he put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. So here we have a lot of times, a lot of things. You know, we plant, we harvest, there's the right time to do all them different things that it talks about here. And so that is what we're talking about, that frame, that period between when we plant, when we harvest, when we're born, when we pass away. And you could apply that down through these verses here to a number of different things. So God knows the events of life. God knows all that. God's all-knowing. We talk about that. God's all-knowing. He knows all the events of life. But so then we could say, well, I guess it doesn't really matter what we do, because we don't have no choice in it. God knows what's going to happen. Well, no, we don't agree with that. God does know the events of life. God does know the choice that we will make. We have a choice that we can make as we go through life. And so I think Solomon here is pointing out that God has a plan for all people. Verse 1, he says, to everything there is a season. There's a time. There's a purpose. There's a purpose why you and I are here today. There's a purpose why we are living in 2024. What is that purpose that God has for us? Are we fulfilling that purpose, or are we using the things that God has given to our honor and not to his? But I think Solomon here is pointing out that God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us. And we need to fulfill that plan. We need to make choices, and we need to make decisions. And so we do have many different experiences in life. And I think these verses are appropriate for there is a certain time for everything. There's a season. There's a right time. So then in verse 2, we need to discover that without God, life's problems have no lasting solutions. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Without God, there's no lasting solutions. So the third point is the secret to peace is to accept and appreciate God's perfect timing. You know, God knows the end of everything. God knows all about us, all that is done, and it's controlled by his providential hand. But I think we need to, the secret for us to have peace is that we accept and we appreciate God's perfect timing. And it's easier to look back and appreciate some things at times. You know, right at the time, maybe we can't appreciate the situation we're in. We talked about in Sunday school about the hard things that happen to us in life. And they are for our good, but we don't see that at the time. When we are going through that experience, we need to be honest with ourselves. I don't think we usually don't understand what God's purpose is in our life. But it's as we trust him in his time, and he knows the beginning from the end. We need to trust him. We need to trust completely in God. And that's easier for me to stand up here and say this morning than it is to put into practice. To trust God for all the things that happen in our life every day. So I think that's the alternative for mankind, because we don't see, we can't see what the end result is, but we can trust God. He is the one that is in control. You know, every day when the sun comes up in the east, it's a new day. When it sets in the west, it's the end of the day. You know, and spring will turn to summer, and summer will turn to fall, and fall to winter. I mean, that's what it says here, that is what is going to happen. So in verse 9 there, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? So are you finding any profit or any results from the labors of your life? And I think we can say that we do. We need to, our ability to enjoy our work. We need to enjoy our work. We need to enjoy what we're employed in, what we're doing in life, where God has called us. We need to enjoy that, and we need to find satisfaction in that. And I think how we will respond to that depends a lot to what our attitude is towards the things that happen to us in life. There are always situations that happen in life that are not pleasant. Or are we being selfish with what we want? All the events of history have been fitted into God's timetable. You know, God is able to use anything and anyone for the fulfillment of his purpose. And if we buck at what God is trying to do in our life, we may miss some blessings. There may be some blessings that someone else will experience because we have not allowed God to work and find his fulfillment in our life. We need to find fulfillment in life as we go through life. In your employment, do you find and fulfillment in that? Are you finding ways to be a light and a testimony to those around you? A way to serve God while you are being employed or at your work? So what is the purpose of life? Anyhow, what is the purpose of life? I think the purpose of life is simply that we would fear the Almighty and powerful God whom we serve, that we bring honor and glory to his name. We must first of all, if we are going to find fulfillment in life, we need to first of all give God first place in our life. You know, like I said earlier, we will be accountable. We will have to give an account for what we've done with our time. And so I think purpose starts in our life as we acknowledge God and God in our life and the relationship we have with him. So that's where we find purpose, as we accept what God has for us. Now look at an example of one. Let's turn to Luke 10. I just want to look at a couple verses there in Luke 10. Very familiar account, the Good Samaritan. And just notice a few things that he did. As we think about time, and there's a time for everything and a purpose for everything, and some of the situations we face in life that aren't pleasant, God has a purpose for that. And here in Luke 10, maybe we'll just look at, we're familiar with this account. We know what happened as he went that way, and those that came along, and then finally the Samaritan came along there, verse 3. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. He came to where this man that had went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He came to this man and he seen him. He came where he was. You know, the priest and the other, they passed by on the other side. They did not stop and help him. But when the Levite and the priest, they passed by, they looked, they saw, but they kept on going. But here in this Good Samaritan, he came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So there you see as he seen him, and as he saw him laying there, he went to where he was. And that's what we need to do today as well. We need to go. If we're going to help someone, we need to go where they were. And then we see what he did. Verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. That's different than what happens today. A lot of times today, people want to use other things to try and help someone. But we notice what the Good Samaritan did. He went to him, first of all, and then he took of his time as he went there. He observed him, and then he used the things that God had given to him to help this man that fell among the thieves. And that's a challenge to us today. We need to, God has blessed us, and are we using the things that God has entrusted, that we are stewards of, are we using them things? Are we using, and one of them things is our time. You know, sometimes it's easier just to give someone a little money and tell them to, you know, be filled and warmed and continue on your journey. But there's times when what is more important than that is that we give of our time. We use our time. And that's the emphasis that I want to use here. Here, the Good Samaritan, he did use the things that he had. He used the oil and the wine, and he used his donkey, and he took him to the inn, and he told him to take care of him, and he said, if you need any more, when I come back, I'll pay you more. He used all the things that he has, but he used his time to help him. I think that's what God's asking of us. And it's one of the harder things, I think, at time for us to use, is to give of our time. He wants our time, our talents, our abilities. Yes, he wants our pocketbook. He wants the money he has entrusted into our care. But taking time for someone often means more to them than giving them money or a gift, what that would. So that was a challenge to me as I thought about this, that we would give of our time. Are we? Well, we'll look at that at the end here. We're going to look at Malachi then eventually, but as we give of our time, are we using our time? I told the congregation there at Rarisburg, we have a lot of school children, and I said they should learn to use their time in school. Use their time. Don't procrastinate and just put it off and put it off to the next day. If you learn when you're in your as a child not to procrastinate, but to do your lesson and get it done, and so that you can get other things done. I have a grandson, a couple of them. School isn't their thing, not at all. He can procrastinate. One time he was staying at our place there. Boy, his parents went somewhere, or we stayed there with our grandchildren and. And our daughter said, now make sure he gets his lessons done. And, you know, he would fool around and fool around. I said, well, if you just do them, you could do other things. You know, get them done right away. Make better use of your time. Don't procrastinate. Don't just put it off. And if you learn that when you're young, you can use it throughout all your life. And it just makes things a lot better. Things just go a lot smoother. I always liked to school. School wasn't the greatest thing that ever happened to me either, but I enjoyed school to a point. Enjoyed most things, but this thing of always coming right before class and getting your lessons done, and oh, you just got that done in time. Then you know when the next teacher, there was two grades in a room when we went to school, and oh, they do the other lesson. Then you got to get the next one finished, and you're always trying to catch up. Well, if you just stop and get a half an hour ahead once and stay there, you'd always be on time. You wouldn't always be trying to catch up. So I would try and get my lesson done. As soon as they're done with the class, do the lesson and get it over with and move on to the next one. It didn't always work that good, but at least that was what I tried to do. But don't procrastinate. And we can use that in our lives. Let's not procrastinate, but let's be diligent. Let's be intentional with the abilities and the gifts that God has given us. We need to be intentional. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning too. We need to be doing, and we need to be intentional about what we're doing. You know, so let's not waste our time. That's one of the easiest ways. My grandson, he can get distracted at the littlest thing that happens. But I try to help to keep focused and complete one task at a time and get them done. Then you can move on to the next one. And don't get distracted. And that's all easier said than done, too, as well. But it does. There's a lesson that we can learn there, and we can make use of our time. Now, I want to look at Malachi 3. thinking about time, thinking about things that God has given us. And God asked the question. Now, God, the question is asked here in Malachi 3. I'm going to look at verses 7 through 10. And thinking about tithing, thinking about our time, and the question is asked there in verse 8: will a man rob God? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves: will we rob God? And you say, well, how can you rob God? Well, I think we can rob God in our time. We can rob God in, well, I have 3 points here. And I may as well just stick to my notes and I don't need to backtrack. Let's read verses 7 through 10 of Malachi 3. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, or test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Isn't that what we want? That we could... He says, prove me or test me now and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. Are we limiting God's blessings to us because we are robbing him of our time and his honor and finances and money and that type? That's the 3 things. Will we rob him of his honor? Number one, are we going to rob God of his honor? Or are we going to rob him by not giving our time, number two? And then number three is finances or money or tithing that we do. I think the challenge here is God is saying, will a man rob God? I say, yes, we can rob God. We can rob God of the honor that is due him. We can try and take honor and glory to ourselves by taking credit to ourselves for what we do in his service. We can say, oh, I have done this and that, and I give so many hours, you know, days a month or whatever I give for the Lord's work, and we're just trying to bring honor to ourselves. So the real thing here is, are we taking that honor that belongs to God? And are we trying to credit ourselves instead of giving God the credit? Selfish pursuits. How do we respect the Lord's Day? As we gather, as we participate in church, we talked about that in Sunday school too this morning. In the church, in the school, in the family, are we robbing God of what is due to him? And that has to do with our time. So first of all, are we taking credit to ourselves? And then secondly, all, are we being overly involved in our work, in our business, our employment, our job, whatever that may be, even as mothers? Are we robbing God of some of the time that you need to give to God as you give time to your family as well? And you could take that wherever you want to this morning in your life. I don't know what that all is. So maybe it's just giving a word of encouragement to a discouraged sister or brother or someone that's facing some hardship in their life. Are we taking the time to give, to be an encouragement to that discouraged person, or visiting the sick or whatever it may be? What are we doing with the time? God gives us all the same amount of time. So what are we doing? Are we using it selfishly, or are we using it to God's honor and to his glory? I think we can think about finances, think about tithing. There was a little article I had picked up somewhere along the way about a gentleman, a man who he was, I'll just read some of the little story here. He called his pastor, and he wanted his pastor to pray with him and commit himself to God that he could tithe, that he would give a tenth of his income, is basically what the amount was here. He was going to give a tenth of his income to the Lord, and he asked his pastor to pray with him so that he would do that and he would be faithful in that. And so he was, and he did. And he was faithful in that. His first week's pay was $10, and he gave a dollar. And that was, he was okay with that. As he grew older, he became more prosperous. His tithe was $7.50 a week. Then it went to $10. Then he moved to another city, and his tithe was $100. Then it was $200. And then it was $500. His tithing kept going up. And he sent his pastor a wire. He had moved to another area, and he sent a note to his pastor. He said, "Come to see me." And the pastor arrived at the man's beautiful home. They had a good time talking over old times. Finally, the man came to the point. He said, "Do you remember that promise I made years ago to tithe?" He said, "How can I get released?" He said, "How can I get released from that promise that I made?" Then the pastor said, "Why do you want to be released?" Well, he said, "It's like this. When I made the promise, I only had to give a dollar. But now it's $500, and I can't afford to give away money like that." You know, he couldn't afford. He was still only given a tenth, but he was getting that much more. He couldn't afford to give away a tenth, to give away $500. The old pastor looked at his dear friend and said, "I'm afraid we cannot get released from the promise. But there is something we can do." He said, "We can kneel down and ask God to shrink up your income again so you can afford to give a dollar." So is that what we want? What are we doing with what God has given us? Are we given? If he could live on $9, he could sure live on whatever 10% of $500. So what are we doing? That's the challenge that I want to let with you this morning. What are we doing with the time that God has given to us? In verse 10, he said, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing." God wants to bless us. God wants us to, and see if there will be room enough to receive it. Are we the ones that stand in the way of God pouring out a blessing upon us today? Are we spending with our time? You know, today a big thing is screen time. And are we limiting the screen time? Are we using our phones more than we should, or social media, or emails, or whatever it is? It takes good time management today to be able to get the right things done and to bring honor and do it in an enjoyable way. There was a boy just tell the story a little bit. This boy he asked his dad, he was a 5-year-old son. He was waiting for his dad when his dad came home from work. And he said, "Daddy, may I ask you a question?" His dad said, "Yeah, sure you can." He said, "How much money do you make an hour?" And his dad said, "Well, that's none of your business." And the boy said, the dad said, "What makes you ask such a thing anyhow?" It got a little upset. Well, he said, "I just wanted to know. Please tell me, how much do you make an hour?" pleaded the little boy. Well, he said, "If you must know, I make $20 an hour. "Oh, The little boy replied, head bowed. Looking up, he said, "Daddy, may I borrow $9, please?" The dad was upset when he said that. And he said, "If the only reason you wanted to know how much money I make is so that you can borrow some money from me for a silly toy or some of that nonsense," he said, "why don't you just go up to your room?" And the boy went quietly to his room and shut the door. The dad then, he had sat down and he was getting upset more and more and why this little boy questioned him. He said, "How dare he ask such a question, only to get some money." After an hour or so, he started to think he may have been a little hard on his son, and he calmed down. He started to think maybe he needed something with that $9. And he doesn't ask for money often, but so the dad went up to the little boy's room and he opened the door and he said, "Are you asleep, son?" He said, "No, Daddy, I'm awake," replied the boy. The dad said, "I've been thinking, maybe I was too hard on you earlier. It's been a long day and I took my aggravations out on you. Here's that $9 you asked for." The little boy sat straight up, beaming. "Oh, thank you, Daddy," he said. Then reaching under his pillow, he pulled out some more crumbled up bills. The dad, seeing that the boy already had money, started to get angry again. The little boy slowly counted out his money, then looked up to his father. He said, "Why did you want more money if you already had some?" The father grumbled. "Because I didn't have enough. But now I do," the little boy replied. "Daddy," he said, "I have $20 now. Can I buy an hour of your time?" That's really what he wanted. That's a challenge to us daddies, us fathers. Do they have to buy our time? Or do we give our time? And that's a challenge. That was a challenge to me as I thought about, are we making good use of our time? Are we tithing our time? So use your time to build relationships. I'll close with Matthew 25, verse 23. Matthew 25, 23, this is Jesus speaking, and I think these are words that we want to hear as well. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I think we want to hear those words. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. As we find fulfillment in doing what God would have us do. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men." So let's not rob God of the honor and glory that's due to his name, but let's do those things which are important, because after all, we are responsible and accountable to what we do with our time. Shall we kneel for a word of prayer? Our great God and Father, we bow before you this day as we looked into your word and as we looked at our responsibilities that we have to those around us. Father, help us to bring honor and glory to your name. Help us not to be selfish and want to serve self, but to serve you and find fulfillment and enjoyment as we do that, Father, because it is through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, as we have our sins forgiven, as we want to do his will. So bless each one here, bless the congregation here, each one that's here this morning as we live our lives for you. Help us to bring honor and glory to your name. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.